two things. Either we are describing the Zman of Matan Torah. Okay, Matan Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he offered the Umay Sa'olam an opportunity to receive the Torah, to mekabel the Torah. That's one approach. And thus, Teiman and Paran refers to, we assume refers to Esav and Yishmael. They were given an opportunity to accept the Torah, and they rejected it. And then Hashem offered it to Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael said, Naseh v'nishma. That is what these psukim are describing according to one approach. The other approach of the Rashi, we are describing the Zman of the end of the 40 years as Klal Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael. As we approached, we entered into the land, we passed through the nation of Edom and Teiman, and Paran refers to Edom. We passed near their lands and we went to war against Sichon and Og. Hashem has done for us their miracles. And after 40 years in the desert, Hashem's reputation was well known. The miracle of Klal Yisrael surviving 40 years in the desert was something which brought to the world praise of Hashem. And the next person go on to describe the history of what happened during the 40 years. We were guided by the Amud Eish, Amud Anon. We were guided by the Aron, which had the Luchos. That was the other approach. The Malam says, Eloka miteman yavo, Hashem has come from Teiman, Hahan hago hazois timoshech ad sheyagia, Eis hagi'ula, shaz yavoi Eloka miteman liga olam. The Malam is coming to disagree with everything that we've learned until now. We're not describing Matan Torah. We're not describing the time of our entry into Eretz Yisrael. We are describing the Zman of Mashiach, the Zman that we are currently living in. And this approach that Hashem says to Habakkuk, that Hashem is going to hide himself, is going to operate with the principle of Hester Panim, the Anochi Haster Haster Panai, will continue until the Zman of Mashiach. And when Mashiach arrives, then Hashem will once again reveal himself to the entire world. Umitzayer, on the very end of the first line, ki hagolus ha'achren tischalik bein shnei malchuyos. Okay, he's saying over here some incredible stuff. It's like prophecy from the Malbum of what's going to be in 300 years from his life, what we're living through now. And Golus, the end of the Golus, will be divided amongst two nations. Sheheim Malchus Edom, Hamitsuyenes B'Shem Teiman. Edom is described occasionally in Tanakh as Teiman. She Teiman Hu Be'eretz Edom. The land of Teiman is in the land of Edom. He is describing Teiman as a land, a geographic region, which is in the heart of the land of Edom. Umalchus Yishmoel, Hamitsuyenis, the Radak said the same thing, that the word Paran is a code word for Yishmael. B'shem Har Paran, K'moshe Kosov Etzel Yishmael Vayesha Bebira Paran. It says explicitly that after Avraham drove out his son Yishmael on the advice of Sarah, he lived in the desert of Paran. U'misham Yavoy Hashem L'ga'olam. And at that point in time, Hashem, in Ikvisa de Meshicha, when the world is dominated by these two nations, Hashem will come to redeem them, these people. Vine tofas melitza sheniska batera bebirchas ish elokim. The bracha that was said by the birchas ish elokim. Who is the ish elokim? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is called the ish elokim, the godly man. If you wouldn't see this pasuk, you would think they were talking about Rashbi. Hatana elokoi, godly Tana. The real godly person is Moshe. Moshe is called the Ish Elokim. V'zorach miseir lamoi. Moshe Rabbeinu, he said the same thing. Hashem will shine from Seir, from the mountain of Seir, lamoi towards them. Towards who are them? Klal Yisrael. Hifia, Hashem will appear. Mehar Paran, Asher Nibe, Hashem. Asher Nibe, Moshe Rabbeinu as well, delivered a prophecy, Kiyamdu Umos Edom Yishmol, that these two nations would stand up, Asher Yisparu Bidosos Hamis Hamis Damois Ladas Hoelokis, and they will pride themselves in presenting to the world a religion that is godly, which we know is not true, but they will make believe Christianity.
Or maybe a religion that is something similar to the true, to our religion.
Okay. The Chazal, Tziru Bimilitzasam, Chazal have expressed, described in through metaphors, Shehashem, Hechziris HaTorah L'Seir L'Paran, V'loi Kibluha. So now what the Malbim is doing is he's combining, he says something no one else said. He right away says that we're discussing the times of Moshiach. And then he's coming back to draw from the Zman of Matan Torah. Ki hadosai shekiblu al atzmam, enam hados shebo Hashem losteis al har Sinai asher loy rotsu lekabel oisa. Isn't this amazing? Isn't this beautiful? These two nations, Edom and Yishmael, who present to the world religion, they present Christianity, they present Islam. They were offered the real religion. They were offered. Chazal explicitly tell us that Hashem, at the time of Matan Torah, presented them with an opportunity to accept the true religion. And they rejected it. And now they have the chutzpah to come to the world and present a new religion. What kind of nonsense is that? You are presenting a religion to the world? You had an opportunity to accept the true religion. Hashem offered you the Torah. And you said, no, I'm not interested in religion. And now all of a sudden you become interested in religion. And when it's too late for you now to accept the Torah, you invent, you create a religion which is flawed to the core. Look what these nations have done to the world. Look at the churban they brought upon the world. Now when Mashiach will come, Hashem will come to give them Musar. We're now describing the Zman of Mashiach. Hashem is returning to this world and is saying to these nations, what kind of nonsense is this? Christianity, Islam, you make believe you're religious. You had an opportunity for the real religion. Asher yakiru kulam. Hashem is coming to rebuke. Amitas hados. Asher yakiru kulam dos ho'emes. Hashem, when the time of Mashiach, it will be clear to the world the truth of Judaism. This is an amazing principle which obviously we're not yet living in the times of Mashiach, despite the fact that many people will tell us that we are. But there's one thing that we're lacking. The world has not come to accept that the Torah is emes. You can say that we're living in very special times when we have opportunities that we've never had before. And many of the Mamori Chazal that describe the blessing of Acharis Hayamim are present in the world, even though the individual suffers enormously. No, people are dying. People are suffering enormously in this world, but the opportunity for blessing is there. But one thing is certainly lacking, the acknowledgement of the MS of Torah. At that moment in time of Mashiach, it will be clear to the entire world MS, and the Ummah Yisraelam, specifically Yishmael and Esav, will be put to shame that they have presented a religion that is fake, a fake religion. And they, more than any other nation, are shamed because they had the opportunity to accept the religion of Emes. The Yapuch, at the times of Mashiach, the world will be transformed El Amim Safav Biruda, Likrei Kula Mashem Hashem, Uvasher Bados Shebesei Chipu Dvorim Al Hoelu Kus, And being that the religion of Christianity, they have hidden chippu dvarim al ho elokus v'yichaslo in yonim bilti ruuyim, they covered up the truth. They covered up the emes of religion, and instead they attributed to God false attributes. Omar, it is to that which the pasuk here says, Omar Eloka mitemon yavo, sheyavoi Hashem will come lehisfakeach, to rebuke, mitzad elokusoi ve'achduso ve'ruchoniyuso. Who can say such beautiful, eloquent words other than the Malbim? Hashem will rebuke them from the standpoint of godliness, oneness, and spirituality, uvadosh shel paron, and likewise the religion of Paran, which is Islam, lo yitnu doifi be'elokus, uvadosh shel paron. Okay, lo yitnu. I don't know how to translate these words in this context. V'alzeh amar ki yavoi kadosh mehar paron uritzon milaymar ad esagu ulos sheeloka mitimon yavo avake shetifal pulosko lahashkiach al banecha. Now the Malbim is returning to the previous parak, it's part of the, it's not the previous parak, it's the beginning of the parak, which alludes to the previous parak, the tefillah lachavakuk hanavi. Al shig yonais lahashkiach al banechash lo yichlu bigalusam. He's praying to Hashem that they should not wither away in their exile. Im baseser kemosh amar chayehu im bagolui. Like we learned in the Malbim before, that Hashem, you should appear both in secret and in hiding. Im bagolui kemosh amar toydia sela bezesiyim bechelik harishon umaskil tefila achedes. This pasuk includes, according to the Malbim, the end of Shachris, and the next pasuk the next words Kisa Shemayim Hoidoi is Mincha. That's a new prayer. Okay, so let's just recap what it says over here. Okay, just a recap on the very, very deep principle of the Malbim. It's something that we don't often think about. It's not common to connect the dots. Like what the Malbim here has done in a very unique way. We often think about the Medrash that Hashem offered the Umay Sa'olam a chelik in Torah and they rejected it. And that's unfortunately where our thoughts end. And other times we think about Christianity, we think about Islam. How could it be the whole world is swept up in Christianity? The other half of the world is swept up in Islam. What kind of religions are they? Look what a curse they've brought to the world. Look how much bloodshed. Look how much hate. Look how much intolerance, how much suffering this religion has brought to this world. And we look at them like, are you out of your mind? This is the religion of love and acceptance. When you're responsible for death and pain, what kind of nonsense is all of this about? And unfortunately, our thoughts just start and stop there. The Malbim, in his brilliant mind, connected the dots. How often do we do that? Connected the dots. Look at the hypocrisy of these nations relative to the Zman of Matan Torah. It's bad enough to invent a religion that does not exist. But it's a doubly evil when they had the opportunity to accept the Das Amitis and yet chose to reject it. And then they come along and invent a new religion and present it as being the MS. What do you mean? You presenting the MS when you had in your hands the MS and you threw it in the garbage? That's a different league of chutzpah. This that the Umay Sa'olam, they present Christianity and Islam, it's a double dosage of chutzpah. It's not that you just created a new religion. You had an opportunity for the MS and you rejected it. And then you, on top of that, you present Sheker. That's how the Malbim learns the Pshat in this Pasuk. He's combining what the Medrash says with a new idea of referring to the Zman of the Geula. Elokam miteman yavo will be in the Zman of the Geula, Yimos HaMashiach. Hashem will come to give them Musar. And part of their Musar is, how dare you do what you have done when you had an opportunity to accept the real Torah. Before you go further, I just want to explain one important point, one idea, which is a popular idea. I cannot tell you chapter and verse who says this. I don't know. But it's something which you read about every so often in the Sifrei, the Machshava. And that is, how could we possibly say that Esav and Yishmael were presented an opportunity to accept the Torah? Wasn't it a given from Maaseh Bereishis, from Yom HaShishi, that it would only be Klal Yisrael that would accept the Torah? There's so many midrashim, Bishvil Bereishis is Rashi Tevas, Bishvil Yisrael, Shenikru Reishis, Hashem created the Shemayim Haaretz. There are so many more Chazal that tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the very beginning, had his eye on the ball, and it was his mission to give the Torah exclusively to Klal Yisrael. So how then can we play with this toy, with this principle that Hashem at the Zman of Matan Torah went to the Umma Yisraelam and offered it to them? What do you mean? Moshe Rabbeinu said, "V'niflinu ani v'amecha." Klal Yisrael is unique. It's only us that have the Torah. So what's this all about? The popular answer given is something very deep, very profound, and that is Hashem never had in mind to give the Umma Yisraelam the entire Torah. The only one that was destined to accept and to be offered the Torah in its entirety, with everything that comes along with it, with the keys and all of the codes to open up all the compartments and to have full shlita over the Torah, was Ach V'Rak Klal Yisrael. However, Hashem did have a havamino, Hashem did have a sincere desire that the nations of the world should have a chelek, a small portion, not the entire Torah, but a section. We know that the Umma Yisraelam are obligated to observe the Zayin Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Now those Zayin Mitzvahs B'nei Noach are not necessarily, it's a very dangerous thing to say, are not necessarily a chelik of the Torah. There is the Taryag Mitzvahs, and then there are the Zayin Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. We who observe the Taryag Mitzvahs, which also happens to overlap with the Zayin Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, we observe those seven mitzvahs differently, because our chelik in those seven mitzvahs takes on an entirely new nature because it was given to us again separately at the Zman of Matan Torah. When the Goyim observe the Zayin mitzvahs v'noyach, that's a different, that was pre-Matan Torah. It's a different realm. It's of course all included in the Torah, but it's a category by itself. Just like we can appreciate that principle, that there is something called the Zayin Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, Hashem wanted to give each nation a portion, a segment, not the entire Torah, a selected segment in the Torah that is an upgrade from the Zayin Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. What would the upgrade include? Well, it depended on the nation. Each nation had their weakness, had their nisyonos, and Hashem selected for each nation a unique chelek in Torah that is not the part of the Zion mitzvahs. It would be an upgrade from the Zion mitzvahs, but it would not be on the level of Klal Yisrael that were given the entire Torah. So when we say over here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he presented the Umas Olam with the Chelek in Torah, doesn't mean that Hashem presented the Umas Olam at the time of the Torah with the entire Torah. Hashem was willing to present them with a portion of the Torah. And even that, they rejected. They pushed away. We, on the other hand, took it all. Now, does that mean that we took their chelik as well? Okay, that's a whole different topic of discussion. But one thing is for sure, we at the end of the day did receive the Torah in its entirety, and they have nothing. All they have is the basic raw Zion mitzvahs that was presented at the time of Maisei Bereishis. So here we have over here this beautiful Mahalach in the Malbim where it comes to connect the past. He connects the past entirely with the future where Hashem is coming to give Musa. Okay, now we go to let's go to the second section.
Can I suggest another idea?
I have a point here. I don't know who he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'achrit hayamim yavo litvakeach im umot ha'olam about his godliness. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have to go down to the goyim to explain to them that he is the real God. They accepted it because the habrit haishana was accepted. If we learn Kuzari, And he was talking about the Christianity and the Islam. Both of them accepted the Torah. They agreed. Yeah. The Torah was given by Hashem to Am Israel. However, they have addition. Okay? As hu yavolit vakeach, I think this is the tafkid shel Melech HaMashiach. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to come to discuss to them and to whom? Whom is he going to talk to? Tomorrow? To Trump? To the Pope? I don't know. This is what he says here. Yavo litvakeach itam. And he bases on the pasuk, Eloka mitayman yavo. So this is the first one word, yavo, in the future. However, it's hard to believe that Hashem will argue and will try to explain to them that they are nonsense and it doesn't have to do that. It's automatically it's going to be accepted by them, but because the Mashiach will come and he is going to do the job, not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't think this was something bothers me here in this sentence.
Why Lizvakeach?
Here it's like Hashem is retracing his steps. Just as he offered it to Yishmael and to Esav, and now he will be coming back to the same people and say because it's going to be time for judgment. And I want to suggest something else. That when Hashem offered the Torah, or at least samples of it, to those two nations, it was a preemptive move, because based on Midrashim, because when it comes to Judgment Day and they say, well, you know, we didn't have the advantage of the Torah like the Jews did, why are you punishing us? But you had the opportunity. And similarly, with the Nevi'im, they say it wasn't fair. The Jews had prophets and we didn't have any, but so Hashem allowed Bilam to have prophecy. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm saying it's kind of preemptive for the ultimate judgment.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. I hear. Let's keep that question in mind. I hear. Let's go further for a few moments. Let's now go to the next part of the prayer is Kisa. Batfila hazayis Hashem is yifarish hashloish dvarim shama b'kitzur batfila rishaynehu. He's now coming to review in the second part of Kisa Shamayim Hoidai Usi. What he mentioned, he's coming to review the three different elements of his prayer from before. Vuhu, Masha Amar. Let me put on the screen the next page. Uh-oh, what do I do here? Masha Omar Lael. Wait. What happened over here? One moment, please. It's correct. Paolcha, here it is. I'm sorry. Okay, it's a little bit hard to read. Okay, it's a little bit hard to read. Look all the way on the right side. Okay, the page was bent. All the way on the right side. Beir ho'inyan. Pa'olcha bekerev shanim. Chayehu. Okay, the first part was the request that Habakkuk was mispalo v'Hakadosh Baruch Hu, his pa'olcha, Hashem's klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is Hashem's product. Or pa'olcha means the hanhaga. The Hanhaga, the Hashem's policy of allowing the Jewish people to survive. V'zeh b'farish al ad pasuk hei, beis, ma'asha amar pa'olcha b'kerev shanim toidia. That was benigle. In other words, just to review that Habakkuk was misspelled, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should allow the Jewish people to survive miraculously in a hidden way. Like the Purim story. And then there is the idea that he was misspelled, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should allow the Jewish people to survive with Nisim in an open way. Gimel, Masha Amar, Eloka Mitemon Yavo, Mefarish Ad Pasik Yudalit. Okay, that goes until Pasik Yudas. Now he goes back to explain. That's a second Eloka Mitemon Yavo. Now he's going to give me to explain this in much more detail. Here we go. The A, Sasha Kisa Shvaim Hoidoi, Ritzan Eloimar. He's now coming to explain that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know that you're going to conduct the world, the Oifan Nistar, in a hidden way. When the heavens are cloudy, when the splendor of Hashem is concealed and it's not seen, labriyos, ki ha-shamayim shehu hanhogas hateva, the word shamayim in the thinking of the Malbim is a code word for nature, the Hamareches, and the constellations. Nechasim, they conceal as Hoid Hashem. The Ein Hashkachos and Nigleis, the Is Galia, and Hashem's providence is not revealed to the world. Ki Ha'ilam Misnahek, if you say the Hateva, the Hamareches, Uvichol Zois, nevertheless, despite all of this, I'm begging you, Hashem. Although we do not see Hashem's splendor, nevertheless, I beg of you, Hashem, that you should reveal yourself, and the nations of the world should still recognize that you are the manig, you are the creator, you are the one that is directly involved in this world. Okay, so let's review the words inside the pasuk, back in pasuk Gimel. The words kisa shamayim hoidai is a request. It is a tefillah. It is a prayer that Habakkuk is recognizing that in the long 2,000 years of Golus, Hashem will hide himself. He will kisa shamayim hoidai. He will conceal himself. He will conceal his revelation. The heavens will conceal the splendor of Hashem. The Shemayim here is a code word for nature. Nature will be a veil to hide Hashem's splendor. And here are the key words. Nevertheless, Habakkuk says, despite the thick veil that is being used to hide your presence, I make a request, still usihi losoy molo ohoretz. I beg of you that some of that light of your essence should penetrate through this thick veil of nature and make its way to the earth where humanity, mankind, can perceive your presence and praise you. It's a prayer. It's a very profound prayer that at the time when Kisa Shamayim Hoidoi, still I ask, I beg, I request, I beseech that Tihilosoi, the praise of Hashem, should still Molo Horetz, should still fill up the earth. Okay, that's a very beautiful pshat. It's a very profound approach to understand this pasuk, unique to the Mahalach of the Malba. Now we go to pasuk Dalit. What's the next part of the prayer? We go further in the Malbim. Dalit, v'noiga ka'or tia. Okay, I'm going to raise up a little bit. V'noiga ka'or tia. Hanoiga, what is noiga? Hu adavar she'en loy or me'atzmai. Rak mekabel esor. It's something which receives light. Hamispalesh, a love that is shining upon it, that it's being directed upon it. Umagia oisoi, and causes it to glow. Kemo hayoreach, like the moon. The moon is the perfect example of an object which reflects light. She'ein loy or mitzad atzmei, rak yesh loy noiga shu mekabel me'or hashemesh. It reflects the light of the sun. V'chei b'nimshol. Hagam, here is the nimshol. Gam she'or hashem lo yiskaleh bo'oretz, even though the or of Hashem will not be revealed in the earth, because ki hashamayim yichaseh hoyde, because the heavens, nature, is concealing Hashem's light. V'lo yiyeh shom rak noiga min ha'or. All we're going to have in this world at most will be a slight reflection, because the true or is sheltered, is prevented. B'chol zois, Chavakuk is begging Hashem, I still ask of you, chol zois tiyah ha'noiga k'moy ha'or atzmi. I beg you that the reflection should have the properties, the characteristic, the effect of true light. Ritzan lemar, shebnei adam, yasigu boi tilas Hashem. They should appreciate, they should attain the praise of Hashem. V'oiroi, and Hashem's light. Ki ilu hisigu ho'or ba'atzma, as if they are actually receiving Hashem's light. Shegam ha'hashkocho ha'ne'elemes, u'me'u tefes os. Even Hashem's hanhoga, his providence, which is hidden and is wrapped up, umutefes means like you wrap a shemata around your head, you wrap a garment around your head, even though Hashem's divine providence is hidden and is concealed under a thick veil at that time, tiyadai lahakir bo or Hashem v'hashko chosay. I still beg of you, Hashem, that enough light should penetrate, or the reflection that we do see should be so significant that we will be able to see your actual presence. Next words, karnayim biyadilai, shemino or yatzil karnayim al hanoiga. From this or, yatzil means there shall be an exaltedness. Atzilus. Atzilus is a very powerful word. It's very hard to translate the word. Atzilus sometimes translated as nobility. It's translated as maybe you have some better words. Maybe someone can help me over here. It was a good word to translate the word atzilus. Nobility. It's
It will transfer le'atzil le'avir. Shemin ha'or ya'atzil karnav al hanoga. Et zeba mi'amila etzel. Etzel from. Etzel. Etzlo. Zaya etzlo. And then it will come to the next one.
In this context, it means transfer. Okay. Ad shegam ha'noga yikran, and eat to the degree where even the noga, the reflection, yikran, will shine, the yavrik will break forth, be'or gadol nikol lakol. written lemar shagam hashkacha hanistades tishlach karnei oira uvi rokeha and will break forth sheyedu kulam es hashkachas Hashem v'sham chevyon uzoy hagam she'oz Hashem chavui b'chevyon. Even though at the during the time of Galus Hashem is hidden, nistar v'nechba, the word chevyon means hidden, bilti misra'e, cannot be seen, hu nimso sham b'hanoiga, he really is found there in the glow. V'chai v'kayom k'mo she'omar b'kerev sh'onim chayeyu hagam she'hu mischabe u'bilti noida b'galui. Even though he is hiding and he is not known, he is present. So this is the prayer, the beautiful prayer of Chalakuk. This is the second part of the prayer, and then he goes forward. We're not yet finished yet. Okay, let me put on the screen the next picture. Okay, the next we have to what we did through Pesukim together. The next page is on page 627 here in this sefer. Okay, let me put up on the screen. Okay, Pasuk Kei Lifanov, Lifanov, the Beir HaInyan. Okay, it's there on the screen. If you can. Okay, Lifanov, before Hashem. Yelech Dever, Shebechol Ze, Yelech Dover Lifnecho Oizahu Echavoy. Lehadir ulahamis es oivav. The dover is the plague that will eradicate, that will wipe out the enemies of the Jewish people. Vereshef yetzel liraglav, fire will go forth before him. Hainu lisibasai. The Malbim translates the word liraglav like the second parish in the Radak. We learned yesterday the word liraglav either means by his feet or liraglav means bisibasai. Because of the Jewish people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send forth fire to destroy his enemies, haynu l'sibasai, u'lehashmidam, to destroy the enemies, u'lehashmid u'le'abdam, shehagam shetiyah ha'hashkocha, nisteres u'me'utefes, chavuya b'machbei, even though Hashem's hashkocha will be hidden and concealed, nevertheless, b'chol zois hich, it accomplishes great things. Now here he's something very interesting. He says the dover is nature, and the rishbeish, which are bolts of lightning, sparks of a fire, these are natural events which bring punishment to this world, to the enemies of the Jewish people. So let us summarize. Okay, we finished the Malbim. Let us summarize. What have we learned? What have we learned over here? We've learned over here a very fascinating approach to these three psukim, and this theme really goes on for the entire parak until the very, very end. And this is the approach of the Malbim. The Malbim is learning that we have over here a prayer. Chavakuk is being mispalul to Hashem. He sees that in the 2,000 years of Golus, it's going to be a very difficult situation. And he says, Ribbono Shel'olam, and during this time, there are going to be two religions. When it says here the word Taimon and Paran, it doesn't just mean nations. We have to take note of that. According to Rashi, the Metzulas and the Radak, and the Medrash, when it says Taimon and Paran, it refers to them as nations. Either two nations, Edom and Yishmael, or one nation, just Edom. According to the Malbim, Taimon and Paran refers to religions. It's not just the nation. It's their religion. And according to him, Hashem is coming to give them Musar. I offered you the Das Amitis. and you rejected it. And then later you came along and you presented a fake religion. I am angry. I am angry how you have fooled the world. You have brought into this world Sheker when you know the MS. You know what the MS is because you had an opportunity to accept the MS. So Hashem is coming, Niteimon Yavo. It doesn't just mean Hashem is coming to give Musar to the nation of Teman. He's coming to give Musar to that nation regarding the religion that they presented to the world. The Kadosh Mehar Paron, Hashem is coming to give Musar to the Yishmaelim, not just because of what happened in the past, that they rejected the Torah. It's because they rejected the Torah and they created a fake religion and presented it into the world. Period. That ends that statement. And now Chavakuk goes on to say, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm aware that the next 2,000 years, from where he stood, 3,000 years, it's going to be very difficult. And I realize that you're going to operate with the Hanhoga of Anochi Haster Astir Ponai. You're going to hide yourself. I beg of you, even when you do indeed hide yourself, Hashem, cheat a little bit. You know, cheat. Send some rays of light. Let the rays of light penetrate through the clouds. I remember many years ago, I don't know why, I'm thinking about this now. Just this still came to my mind. I have no idea why this came to my mind. There was someone in my father's shul, and he was retired, and he volunteered. There was a group of people who volunteered to go to Israel and to work for the army. Just to volunteer, they go to Israel for a couple of months as volunteers. They pay their own ticket, and the government takes them in. They put them up in a hotel, and they do work. They do volunteer work for the government. So he told us there was a group of retirees. They went. The government sent them to a military base to prepare food packages for the chayolim, for the soldiers, in honor of Yom Tov, a pekel, like you know, you give a little pekelach to children. So he said they all went, and there was an assembly line, and they all, you know, they were given the job, this group of retirees to produce packages, food packages, and they had in the box this food, you know, whatever it was, and part of the pack was a chocolate bar, and they're supposed to put in the package one chocolate bar in the package together with another 20 items. So he told by Shalosh Shudis that he cheated. He put in the package two chocolate bars. So then the administrator caught him. What are you doing? You're putting in the package two chocolate bars. You're only supposed to put in the package one chocolate bar for the soldiers. So he said, what's your problem? I want to be Mahane. The soldiers, you know, I want to cheat a little bit. Let them enjoy a double chocolate bar, a second chocolate bar. This is what Chavakuk is doing. He's saying, Ribbono Shel Olam, I see there's going to be 2,000 years of Golus. I see you're going to conceal your splendor. But Ribbono Shel Olam, you can cheat a little bit. You can let the rays of your spiritual essence penetrate the Shamayim, the rules of science, so that despite the fact that we're living in a world of Shamayim, which is symbolic of nature and science, that explains everything al derech hateva and attempts to deny Hashem's hashgacha pratis, despite the fact that we're living in a zman of Shamayim, is being kisa, is covering Hashem's hoidoi, I ask you, Hashem, still let it be that tehilasai, your praise, your awareness, the awareness of your greatness, mala'o ha'aresh, penetrate. And any time that we would a revelation of Hashem's presence, even though we're living in a world of color, it is fulfillment of the spirit.
Okay, you're breaking up.
only because from people that are not mutants. Now is the better, Michal? Just shake your head. Michal, is the better? Rabbi Michal, I can't see you. You turned off your Zoom. You're doing something else. Mr. Weiss, can you hear me well?
It's better. It's better.
Hear
yes.
You well.
Better. It's better.
It's better.
I have the Malbim on the screen.
Better.
It's good. Better now. Yes, it is better now.
So this is an incredible. Then he goes Noiga Kaartia. Noiga. What is Noiga? Noiga means the secondary light. I am aware that the heavens are covered, so the primary light will not penetrate the earth. But your secondary light, the reflection light, ka'artiye, you should cheat a little bit, Hashem. Let it have the same properties, qualities, characteristics as the primary light. Karnayin niyadoyloi. Karnayin means the rays of light from your hand, loy, shall be streamed, loy, to the noiga. According to the Malbim, the subject of the word loy is noga. That's unique. No one said that until now. Everyone said the word loy refers to either to Klal Yisrael or to Har Sinai. Here he's learning loy is the noga. The noga, which is the secondary light, shall have the properties of the primary light through karnayim, through rays of light that will break forth through little cracks and crevices in this concealment of science and nature, will somehow break forth and illuminate the noiga to give it, to upgrade it to the level of or, and that the whole world can see. Visham, and there in the noiga, chevyoin uzoi, will be the hiddenness of Hashem's glory, of Hashem's might. And at the same time, when you are going to make it known to the world your presence, at the same time, there will be at times punishment. There will be a magefa, and this magefa will not chas v'sholem be directed at your nation, but instead be directed at the umayis olam who have caused harm. The yetzei reshef liraglov, and fire will come liraglov b'sibasai, because of the harm that they've done to the Jewish people, because of the harm they have done to conceal Hashem's divine presence. Malbim is deep, it's very deep, very, very profound. Now let's go back, now take a look over here. We're going to do now the Mamori Chazal on these psukim. I'm going to put them on the screen and go back to a lot of things we have to do with these psukim. There are a lot of different ideas. Let's put on the screen the Mamori Chazal, which are very popular. Here we go. All right, it's not, let me do it again. It's not so clear. I didn't take a good picture. Let me take a picture again. It's not clear.
Yeah, that's better.
Okay. Eloikai, here we have Mamori Chazal. Eloikai, if you can see it fully and make it a little smaller. Okay. Eloikai mitemon yovoi. V'kadosh mehar paron selo. Vayoymer Hashem misinai bo vizrach misir lomoi. Okay, we have one pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came from Seder. This is the pasuk in Devar Moshe Rabbein that we quoted before. Uchseven, it says, Elokai mitemon yavo, v'kadosh mehar pron selo. These two psukim are parallel psukim. Moshe Rabbeinu in Hazinu and Chavakuk here The famous Chazal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Al Kol Uma, V'Loshayim, V'Loy Kiblu Hashem, presented the Torah to every single nation. Ad Shebo, Eitzel Yisrael, V'Kiblu. Okay, now he's not, that's all, that's he's just quoting this Maamar Chazal, and over here we're only presenting, we're presenting two nations, and the two nations over here are Edom and Yishmol. The Maamar Chazal says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu presented to Edom the Torah, Maksiveh, and Hashem says, it says in the Torah, Loy Sinof. They said, if that's the case, it's not, we're not interested. Hashem presented to Yishmaelim Loy Sirtzach, and they said, we're not interested. Each nation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu presented their Nisoyin. It appears that each nation has a weak point. And the weak point is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu presented to them, and they did not want it. Next, Kinesher Yoir Kinoi. Like a nesher arouses the young in its nest, ma nesher ze ein nichnas lekina miyod ad shehu mitoref es bonav bichnafav ben ilon lachaveroi ben soichol lachaverta b'shvil sheyisoyru, they should wake up kedei sheyehem koyach lekabloi. We have a unique nature of the nesher. The nesher, when it wants to land on its nest, the nesher does not land directly upon its nest. It hovers. The reason why it hovers over the nest is because the commotion, the sound, the noise causes the children in the nest to wake up and to get ready for the landing, so that when the mother lands, she does not crush them to death. So she's very delicate in waking them up first by hovering over the nest. They wake up, they make room for her, they maneuver themselves in such a way that the mother can safely land in the nest and not crush them. Koch, similarly, kishenigla HaKadosh Baruch Hu litein Torah liYisrael leinigla aleihem meruach achas, he did not reveal himself on one side, elo me'arba ruchos, on four sides. Shenemar, Vayoymer, that's what the Nesher does. The Nesher comes and it circles, it hovers, it goes around the airport. So to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he came to give the Torah, he did not come from one direction. Vayoymer, Hashem Nisinai Bo, Vizorach Nisir Lomoy, Ezoihi Ruach Revius. What's the Ruach Revius? Elokami Teimon Yavo, that's Teimon. So we have over here four. We are the four. Hashem came Nisinai. I'm assuming that's one. Hashem Misinai Bo. Number two is Vizorach Meisir Lomoy. Hoifia Mehar Paron. Okay, Hoifia Mehar Paron. I'm assuming that the pasuk that the Chazal are quoting only has three. The text in front of us only presents part of the pasuk, but the pasuk has three. Hashem came from Sinai. That's one. Vizorach Misir Lomoy, that is two. And three, I guess, would be Vihoifia Mehar Paron. And then the fourth is in Chavakuk, where it says, Elokai Mitemon Yavoi, Temon is the fourth side. So we combine what it says in Chumash Devarim, what it says in this Pasuk, and the combination reveals that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he came to give the Torah to Klal, he came from all four sides. Why all four sides? Because Hashem took on the characteristic of the Nesher. The Nesher from all of the creatures is delicate. It does not come down and land upon its young in a way that would cause them harm. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not come to give us the Torah in such a way that would cause us harm. Religion was never ever meant to be. There are numerous Mamori Chazal that support this principle that Hashem giving us the Torah was never meant to be a burden upon us. Derachecha darchei noyam v'chol nisivoseha shalom. And if we ever discover that people are viewing religion as a burden, as a punishment, as something obsessive, something which is difficult, then that automatically is a red sign. That's a red flag. It means we are doing something wrong. If the experience, we said, of davening or learning is burdensome, that's not religion. Then you're missing the point. We're doing something on this. There's something called Musar, and there's discipline. We all know that. And life is not easy. And to live a Torah lifestyle demands enormous sacrifice. But with all that said, Torah is not a burden. It's not meant to be a burden. And there's so many proofs to this. And here we have another Chazal. Torah was given as a nesher. Now, by the way, before we go further, we know that at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Pasuk says, V'ese eschem al kanfei nishorim v'avi eschem eloi. And there Rashi says, just like a nesher, why a nesher from all of the other creatures? Because the nesher, it flies the highest. From all of the birds in this world, the nesher soars above every other bird. And therefore it has the advantage that it's able to put comfortably her children upon her wings, above her wings. Meaning that if other birds do not have, Rashi explains this, do not have the option of resting their children above on their wings, because their birds are fly above. And when a bird above sees that there are vulnerable creatures below on the wings, it swoops down and would kidnap those little children. So all the other creatures have no choice but to take their young and hold them in their hands underneath their bodies, which is not necessarily the most comfortable position for these young creatures to be in. But the nesher does not have that issue, because the nesher flies above all other creatures. So the nesher is able to put the young on top of its wings. Al kanfei nishara. Here we come across another midah of the nesher. When the nesher comes to land upon its children, now notice here it's just the opposite. Here the young are below and the nesher is above. As the nesher now comes to rest, it doesn't want to come down hard. It doesn't want to make a hard landing. It wants to make a soft landing and does not want to injure the young when it lands. So it hovers from all four sides. So isn't that interesting that the nesher, the nature of the nesher, reveals to us sensitivity lamayla and lamata. When it flies, it's unique in that it's the only creature which puts its young above, al kanfei nisharim. When it descends, it's the only creature that has sensitivity to its young, lamata, below its wings, below its body. The Ribbono shel Olam in both of these mishalim is being compared to the nesher. Vo'ese eschem, I carried you al kanfei nisharim. In essence, the pasuk is comparing Hashem to the nesher. And when Hashem came to give the Torah, Chazal are saying he came from all four sides like a nesher, again a nesher, to teach us the Ribbono shel Olam is concerned about us, both lamata and lamala. Hashem puts himself in the middle and guarantees our best lamata, below him, and lamala. Okay, what is the symbolism of lamata? Lamata, you'll tell me, the olam hatachtoin and the olam ha'elyoin, olam hazeh, olam haba, things that we relate to, things that are above us, things that are within our grasp, below us, whatever, that's for you to extrapolate lamala. But one thing is very fascinating here, what we learn, what we discover over here, when we combine together these two memory chazal, the Ribbono shel Olam is compared to a nesher. And a nesher has these unique characteristics of carrying its children lamala and being concerned for its children lamata when it descends. Now, by the way, the nesher is problematic. Creature. Why is it a problematic creature? It is the only creature, simonim, of a non-kosher bird. Okay, a kosher bird needs four simonim to be kosher. Has to have an extra toe. It has to have a zepek, gizzard. It may not be a doyres. It may not be a predator. And the fourth simon, someone remind me, I forgot what was the fourth simon. Extra toe, may not have, has to have a zepek, may not be a doyres. I'm forgetting the fourth simon. There's a fourth simon. Does anyone remember what is the fourth simon of a bird, of a kosher bird? I don't remember.
A round egg.
The egg.
As opposed to an oval egg.
What? No, the egg is not. Not as,
no,
that's,
no,
that's,
no.
Okay.
It needs. Crop. It needs.
A crop.
No, when it stays on the on the line, it separates its one leg from the other, one toe from the other.
Separate thing. That's a separate thing. I kukuvon. I mean,
that's the extra toe. It needs a mesira. It needs a mesira on top of that.
Name is kukuvon niklaf. Kukuvon niklaf. That's what it is. That it's kukuvon can be peeled. Can be peeled. That's of a zepek. A zepek is a different organ. Okay. So these are the four simonim. Those are just simonim. If it has, those are just simonim. But basically, a kosher bird needs four things. Number, the Gemara says, number one, it has to have an extra toe. Number two, it has to have a zepek. A zepek is, I forgot the translation, a certain organ, a certain part of its digestive system. Number three, its kurkuvon must be peeled. It has to, you have to have the ability to peel the kurkuvon into two parts. And number four, it may not be a predator, a doyres. Every bird, most birds are not kosher. The vast majority of birds in this world have one of these four simonim, which make them into a non-kosher bird. There are very few birds that have all four kosher simonim. Now, the Gemara discusses from the category of birds, most birds have at least one simon. There are some birds that have two simonim that make them not kosher. Some birds are really not kosher. They have three simonim. But the bird that is the most not kosher, the most, is the nesher. The nesher has everything bad going for it. It's a doyres. It's a predator. It doesn't have a zepek. Its kurkuvon is not niklaf. It does not have an extra toe. And that's why, because the Gemara explicitly says that the Nesher is all four strikes against it, that's why we have a very difficult time translating the word Nesher as an eagle, because an eagle does have an extra toe. And you're going to have to do some gymnastics to explain why the extra toe of the eagle is not really in halacha called an extra toe, or someone has said the nesher is a vulture, whatever it is. Okay, that's not our topic for today. But whatever it is, Chazal explicitly declare that there is only one creature in the entire world that is the ultimate of being not kosher, and that bird is the nesher. The nesher has everything bad going for it, all four seem on it. If that's the case, it's shocking that when the Ribbono Shel Olam took us out of Mitzrayim, and when the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us the Torah, both Yitzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah, both elements of our existence, of our essence, Yitzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah, were done through the mashal of the nesher, of the bird that has no kosher simonim at all. The most non-kosher bird. How are we to understand this? This is a very difficult question. That Hashem is selecting the most non-kosher bird. Hashem is Tahara, Kedusha Tahara. Lo yishkon b'ohelecha avlo. So why did you select this bird for Yitzias Mitzrayim? Ese eschem al kanfei nishalim. Why did you select this bird for Haifia mehar paron, the four ruchos? Because the nesher, it hovers, it circles the airport before it lands. So the Ribbono Shel Olam is not like the President of the United States. I remember once listening to the radio, they interviewed Bush W. And they asked Bush W, tell us, Mr. President, what do you miss about no longer being the president of the United States. So what would you think he would say? I miss the power. I miss the covenant. I miss the good food. Right? You can give a million answers. What do you miss about not being the president of the United States? And you know what he said? I couldn't believe this. I miss that when I travel in the airplane, I don't have priority. When I travel commercial, the airplane often has to circle the airport multiple times until the airport give us permission to land. And when I was the president, it never happened. Whenever Air Force One came in for a landing, Air Force One was given priority, and we never ever circled an airport to land. We always landed first. But now that I'm no longer the president and I fly commercial, I have to circle the airport. The Ribbono Shel Olam circles the airport. Isn't that amazing? The Ribbono Shel Olam, he gave us the Torah me'arba ruchos, from all four sides. He's like the Nesher. The Nesher does not come in to land directly. When the Nesher approaches the nest, it circles and circles and circles until it is certain that its young are ready to be mekabelet. When the Ribbono Shel Olam comes to give Torah to Klal Yisrael, he didn't come to impose a burden upon us. He circled Har Sinai until we were ready to accept him. We're ready to be mekabel Hashem. That's a lot of mussar in this Maamar Chazal. Okay, let's now go to the next Maamar Chazal. Hoya Rebbe Eliezer Benoy Shlomo Yosef Glili. Okay, it's on the page over here. It's four lines from the bottom. Hoya Rebbe Eliezer Benoy Shlomo Yosef Glili Oimer Hari Oimer Magid Vadav Liakov Kugav Mishpatav Lishol La'asachem L'chol Goy. Hashem was not so kind to all the other nations. V'chim Ma'asu Hagoyim Devuyim Ha'elu Shlerotza Liten L'chem Esatayra. What the Devuy means sick. The word devuim is a very unique word. These goyim that are sick, they're ill. What about the goyim? What happened to them? Why did they also not receive the Torah? The answer is the pasuk explicitly states they chose not to accept. Shenemar eloka eloka mitemon yavo vinoga ka'or tihyeh lefanov yelech dover. The next pasuk which we did not yet read is omad vayimoded eretz ra'o vayater goyim. Hashem released them. He untied them and made them hefker. Hashem brought upon them a magefa. Hashem declared them hefker, to be destroyed and to suffer because of the insult that they gave to the Torah and to Hashem through the words umishpatim bal yidu'um. The Chazal are telling us something very, very powerful. The translation doesn't just mean, they don't know, when we read this pasuk often in davening, we think it means that Magid Devarav Liyakov,